By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Watching the beauty of the Olympics this week has literally taken my breath away. Seeing them lined up at the start, ready to do something that they've been practicing for their whole lives. Only this is the big one. This is the one that matters the most. This is the one that they've been waiting for. You can see the emotions all over their face. You can feel it when you look at them. You and I may not have been at the starting line of a big race like that, but we all have these moments in our lives, the ones that matter, the ones that make a difference for our present and for our future, the fork in the road moments, whether we come together and lean in and live into what God created us to be and do, or back away. Typically, people feel like they're alone in these moments, like it's just them and what they can produce, the fastest run or swim, the best presentation, the interview that feels like it will mean the difference between future with hope or disaster. The thing is, though, the sense that we are totally alone in those moments is an illusion. We are not alone at all. There are generations of people whose shoulders we stand on. With his litany of by faith, the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us that the life of faith we lead, it is a race. It is a journey, but it is not one we take alone. We are walking in the footsteps of thousands of years of faithful people. And we are walking with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul Hammer puts it this way. In the Bible, faith is never a matter simply for an isolated individual. It involves a community, of persons that stretches back into the past, embraces people in the present, and anticipates a fellowship in the future. Faith involves a cloud of witnesses to God's continuing faithfulness. Every year in Pleasantville, for too many years to count, we've had Ecumenical Vacation Bible School. And for the last 15 years, we've had Mr. Chris teaching music to the children and the youth. It always feels shocking on Thursday night when they have the celebration and they share the music that they've learned. This week, there was a priest who was new to our community, just moved here a few weeks ago, and he said, I had this note, I have to come here and do something. He sat down next to me, I don't know what this is. And I said, well, here's the bulletin, and you're in the benediction, so relax and see what it is. His mouth dropped open. He said, really? In a week? This is a week? This is amazing. This is incredible. No wonder they didn't tell me what it is. They could have never explained it. The EVBS secret recipe is that each year there are one or two new songs and maybe 20% new kids, but there's also a cloud of witnesses who've already learned that God's love endures forever. There's this cloud of kids who have it in their heart that God's love wants to sing in them. And they witness to us with their music, not alone, together. The youngest and those who've been doing it for 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years. Each year, the cloud of witnesses, the group of kids who are grounded in the truth that God's love does endure forever, that crowd grows. Whatever happens in their lives in the future, deep inside, those words are there. And even if they get lost, they can be found by the music that is written on their souls. God's love endures forever. In a prayer in the Bible class I took, one of the professors told us, look through the Bible for the prayers and the prayers. The Psalms, yes, but there are more. For the prophets, for the gospel, for the letters. Look for those prayers because a day is going to come when you don't have any words to say yourself. When your heart is broken, and you will need to remember you do not stand alone. You are grounded in a faith with a great cloud of witnesses. And their faith, that faith can make you whole. We all have the cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. We all stand on the shoulders of those heroes of faith. When we try to lay aside that sin that clings so closely, when we try to leave behind the things we do that we know are wrong, those parts of our lives that are separating us from God because we're choosing to be separated from God, when we try to lay those sins down, we do it alongside people like Rahab and Samson and Jephthah, people who sinned mightily and yet managed to take the baton and run their part of the race in such a way that they became named members of this ancestry, part of this line of faith that leads us to Jesus. Each of our clouds has other people too. The grandparents or parents that brought faith into our lives, the Sunday school teacher, the youth group leader, the camp counselor, the pastor, or the person who sits next to us in the pews, who helps us make it here on a Sunday morning, maybe physically, maybe spiritually, Because knowing they will be there helps us stay connected to this community of followers of Jesus. And this church has a cloud filled with those who have gone before us, who showed us what it means to be a man or a woman of faith. So what race is before us this day? What has been entrusted to us? What responsibilities? What opportunities to be people who love God and love each other? Whatever we do it in the steadfast love of God. Whatever we do not do it alone. Whatever we do it in the name of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who ate dinner with sinners and told people who had messed up beyond belief to go and sin no more. Christ Jesus, who wants us to see ourselves as beloved children of God and run our race. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid that we're not good enough or whole enough or faithful enough. We have to show up. We have to be open. We have to be willing to give all that we are to living out the gifts that God has planted in us. The baton is ours to carry. May God help us to know that we have what we need to take our turn and run the race that we have it in us to run. Not alone, never alone, but surrounded for now and forever by a cloud of witnesses who is mightily cheering us on. In Jesus' name, amen.